Hello, everybody. This is Anissa Bramwitz, your host of the eLearning Scenario Design Podcast. Hope you're having a fabulous day. Hope you had a great weekend. Now, just a tip. Here's a quick tip. If you see eagles circling above you, put your chihuahua on a leash because eagles are opportunistic carnivores and they will come down and eat your chihuahua. Now with that, the thing I wanted to really talk about today is resistance. And what you're going to find, anytime, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you pitch ideas and there is a huge, whether it's new learning, whether it's new anything, or it's different, it doesn't even have to be new. When you're pitching stories, you are in a way battling an uphill battle a lot of times, right? And what you're battling is that status quo. And let me tell you, my friends, the status quo, even if it doesn't look like there's a status quo, there usually is a status quo. Whether that's a fun status quo or a open-minded status quo, sometimes it's by putting in these new ideas that you'll find there's a resistance, and people will, sometimes people will on purpose work against you to ixnay your project or your efforts or make your work doubly difficult because they're afraid and they don't want to rock the boat and they don't like that you're rocking the boat. Yes, I'm going to say it out loud. There's people out there who are actively trying to sabotage you. And the thing is, one of the things that happens when people try to sabotage you is you think it has something to do with you. And most times, like 99% of the time, this took me a really, really freaking long time to figure out, is that it's not you, right? It's just that you happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time sometimes, and also you let those things happen to you. So years back, I worked in a department where my lead head honcho was a total jerk to us. Especially I felt to me, right? Of course, because it's personal, right? You feel in it. You're like, I'm the one feeling this. And that's one of the things that's kind of terrible, is that when you feel these things are directed at you, you start to not only question yourself, but you start to think that there's something wrong with you, or this person has a personal vendetta. And then you actually stop seeing what's really happening, because what happens is a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Which is you believe somebody's against you, and then every other action they do is you feel like they're against you, and it's a personal goal of theirs to make your life miserable. And it's kind of funny because I felt that way. I mean, this person was horrible. Every time a new project was suggested, it was like, you know, putting on the air of, yeah, that looks so good. And that's going to be so good for the team. And yeah, we're going to do that. And then, you know, we got back to our desks when the big boss, the big, big boss wasn't around. It was all just back to, what are you doing? And that's too much. We don't have the scale. We don't have the scope. Like, basically anger, right? That we even suggested all these new ideas because this person didn't know how to execute it. And they had, it's like they had no trust in other people. So if they couldn't do it, it couldn't be done. That kind of stuff, right? And I was just so angered by this. And I really did take it way too personally. And then kind of like a year after this incident, I talked to one of my colleagues at like a coffee shop. And then she told me how she had been treated by this person. And I thought, wait a minute. It wasn't because my ideas were really innovative. I mean, they were in a sense, but, you know, it wasn't that crazy. I was like looking at things that were out there in the world, right? And saying, hey, can we do some of that? And this person was afraid. And this person was resistant because they didn't know how to do it. So they didn't want to admit that. And they just kept on pulling everybody back so that we could not, you know, make this person look bad. But there is no such thing, right? It's like, imagine being a leader and saying, oh, I don't know how to do, you know, how to write code. So you never actually ask anybody to create anything unique because you might not understand what they created, even though the end product is awesome, right? It kind of like that kind of behavior. And so then when I realized none of that stuff was me directed, it was just this person working, I couldn't remedy that situation anymore. Like, that was already done. But one of the things that it taught me was it wasn't that it taught me that lesson. I didn't have that big aha, like, oh yeah, now I get it. It's not about me. That person was just dealing with something terrible or had some interior insecurities, and therefore my projects were kiboshed. But it's really that everybody's projects were kiboshed, and we just needed to actively start getting together and pushing for things instead of, you know, it's kind of like it was like a divide and conquer kind of situation, right? Because you feel like everybody is saying no to your idea, and you don't realize that everybody's ideas are being kind of deflated or defeated. And so if we supported each other more as a team and decided what was actually going to be of value, that would have been a better experience for us all. And also, I feel like what would have happened is I would have pushed a lot more. So what would have happened is we would have, instead of just maybe looking at this one obstacle, we would have collaborated more as a team on different things. And, you know, those things happen. I think that we feel a lot of times we feel like we're in a silo because we take things very personally. And we don't realize that there's a whole bunch of other people that feel exactly like us or who want to innovate or who are just looking for somebody to introduce that new idea. They just need a little bit of that support. And man, you guys, like, it has happened to me so many times. I can't believe how many times I felt like a dummy because you realize there's people out there who want to support you, who want to be creative, who are thirsty for that. And you don't even, like, you're so lost in your own, like, feeling sorry for yourself and basically just you stroking your little ego going, oh, did that hurt? And then you don't even reach out and say, hey, are you also looking to, you know, do something profound? And do you want to work on that? Like, do you have an extra? There you will find people. And there's people online. It's just amazing these days. Like, I didn't even have any of these amazing communities that there are now online to do that. So those people are out there. Is it still going to be effing hard? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because you're in that environment. That's one of the toughest things, is that sometimes you are, like, it really is just you, right? Like, I was talking to one of my students the other day, and they're like, yeah, one of the things that I enjoy about our, you know, live sessions is that we actually get to talk about things that everybody on this call actually gets. Because I'll send my stuff around to colleagues to get feedback, but none of them actually do what I do. So they'll be like, yeah, that was awesome. And then you're like, yeah, but did you see, like, that's not the piece I wanted feedback on. Okay, that's great. I understand that you think it's awesome, but I'm actually looking for some really deep down technical feedback as to, hey, is this actually sound as far as a story? Or is this actually making sense in terms of the way I used this timer to create urgency? Is that make sense, you know? So those are the things that that people are looking for. And so you just have to find your peers, because it is sometimes you are isolated. As much as I would say, oh, there's communities online, you still need to find those people, right? And you still need to get out of that environment or be in an environment that supports you. So, yeah. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because I wanted you to know that as much as I, you know, spew all these tips and tricks and all this stuff, I'm not some, you know, learned person who read a book and then decided to retell it to you, or I'm learning this as I go through my podcast. My podcast is where I share with you the failures and the successes that I've had, right, that have worked for me. And so I don't ever want you to feel like any of the stuff that's coming out of my mouth that it's gospel. It's just, I want you to take it with a grain of salt and also apply it in your own world, and then let me know how it worked for you, right? Because it's one of the things that really bothers me about our industry is the dogma that we have. And every single time you even use a word like sexy, there's always going to be somebody who is going to, they're not even going to listen to your message. Like if I use the word sexy in one of my content, in one of my lives, right? And of course, somebody who's uncomfortable with the word sexy will get on and be like, are you using sound principles to design learning? And I'm just like, this is interesting how a single word, how I have power now over you, and you won't even listen to my message because you're so distracted by the fact that you might be threatened a little bit, you know? Or it's new and people don't like change, right? And those are also the people that refuse to believe that, you know, when people come to class and like, whatever, you're designing things for students, that when students come to class, you're not like fighting with YouTube on their phone for attention and for relevance and for meaning. So there's definitely some dinosaurs that are going to have to die before like a real, you know. And it's funny because what was I watching? I was watching a TED Talk, and it was, this woman was just talking about how, what was it? It was something about change. It was something about revolutions and change. And I think it had to do with women's issues. But one of the things that I loved that she said is, you know, we probably won't be able to convince everybody. There will be people, regardless of where you're at, that you'll need to actually wait for them to die. She said it all bluntly, and I was like, maybe that's actually the truth, is that some people are so set in their ways, they see the universe in a certain way, and for you to try to give them a different perspective when they've already, you know, organized all the molecules in the way that they expect them to be organized, that is almost a battle you don't want to lose. If somebody is already against you and they already believe something else, it might not be worth the effort. You might want to seek out some warmer audiences and then show them a different way of looking at things. Show them that's a way that story says, hey, we already have amazing content. How about we create some interactive stories to get people to really believe in themselves and believe how this building this skill can help them? How about we do that? You know, those are the pieces that a lot of people have trouble with because it's new. They don't know how to write stories. They don't know how to do all that stuff. And I say, you know, send them to my webinar. because I think once you realize the pivotal role that stories and interactive stories, period, can play in how you disseminate content for learning for adults, that will change everything. Absolutely. I believe it 1,000%. So these are the things that definitely people should consider. So one of the things you probably need to do then is go to www.elearningsecrets.com. And just for now, I'm running the training live because I want to learn more about your questions and the challenges that you're facing and really just learn how to explain these concepts better, because the more people that share stories out there that are meaningful, the better everybody's lives will be. Because I think that, you know, there's a lot of amazing content out there, but not enough people applying it, reading it, exploring it, questioning it. It's just, we're just kind of, you know, letting it slip. Or we're just reinventing the book cover, but we're not changing the story, what's inside. So let's get on that. So if you haven't already and you like listening to my podcast, guess what? It's going to be even more hands-on. Obviously, podcasts are so hands-off. You're probably cleaning or driving. But show up to my webinar. And also, you'll probably figure out some ways that you can work with me next year, which would be super cool. Because my goal is to have, if you haven't checked out brokencoworker.com, to have 10,000 of them. Before I die, there's 10,000 interactive stories out there that are not just made by some, you know, startup shop in the UK, because they're so goddamn creative over there, but it's actually made by everyday people like you and me who have the power of the software and the context to make stories that are really meaningful as well. All right, so hopefully you found that helpful, useful. If you did, share it, like it, leave me a review, or better yet, come and join me on the webinar. All right, take care, friends. Bye.